listen, and do. This morning, I want you to remember those two very simple words, listen and do. And with all that I say in my sermon today, much of it will be an explanation of those two very simple words, listen and do. And I hope that you retain in your memories much of what I say this morning. But I realize that sometimes whenever you listen to a sermon, you don't remember everything. You aren't going to remember everything. You may not even remember a lot. But I hope as you leave this building, and just, I don't know how soon it will be that you leave this building, but in under an hour, I hope that you remember two words, the word listen and the word do. Listen and do. Now, to explain myself just a little bit more, to clarify what I mean by these two words, let me say this. We must listen to what Jesus says. We must listen to what Jesus says. But to listen to Jesus' words, and that is all, that is not sufficient. We must also do what Jesus says. If we only listen to Jesus' words and then do nothing to follow them, then what good does that do us? It profits us nothing if we just listen but do not do. We must listen to Jesus' words, and then we must do what Jesus tells us to do. Both are essential, to listen and to do. We know what Jesus wants for us to do by listening to him. But then, after we find out what he wants us to do, then we need to do it. Now, in a way, this is very elementary, isn't it? But how important it is for us, how essential it is for our spiritual lives to listen and to do. Now, let me test your memory here. I can even take it off the screen here. So what are the two words that I want you to remember as you leave this building this morning or this afternoon? Okay, listen and do. Okay, I think we can handle this, right? I think so. It can be difficult to memorize sometimes, but I think we can hold on to these two words, listen and do. So I may ask you as you leave the building this morning or this afternoon, what are the two words? And you can say, listen and do. Listen and do. Now, I want you to remember those two words, but I want you to do is even something more than this. Yes, remembering the two words is great, but as you leave this building, I want you to be committed to listen to Jesus and to do what Jesus tells us to do. I want us to be devoted all together as a group of believers, devoted today and in the days ahead to listen to Jesus and then to do what Jesus tells us to do. Now, of course, I realize, and you realize as well, we cannot personally hear the words of Jesus this morning, can we? Jesus is not in our presence in bodily form speaking to us, is he? So we can't hear Jesus in that sense. We can't hear words coming from his own mouth because Jesus isn't with us in a bodily way. He's in heaven, isn't he? So Jesus isn't sitting in a pew like we think about Cleve sitting in a pew. But we do hear Jesus' words, don't we? And we hear Jesus' words from the Bible. We sure do. And it's these words that we need to give heed to. We need to listen to these words, and we need to do these words. Now, by way of clarification, we understand that Jesus did not originally speak these words of the Bible to us personally. Okay, so we weren't one of the disciples, were we? I mean, how long ago did the disciples live? And so we're not Peter, the apostle. We're not John, we're not James, we're not Bartholomew. Jesus originally spoke much to his disciples. He spoke to other individuals. He spoke to great crowds of people. So as we think about listening to what Jesus says, we understand that not everything that Jesus said applies directly to us. None of it was spoken directly to us in that we weren't Peter or James or John. But we also understand that not all the words that Jesus spoke apply directly to us today even. So not all of the words of Jesus would apply to us today as they would have applied to certain individuals in his own lifetime. But what I am saying, as I talk about listening and doing, as we talk about the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus that apply to us today. We need to listen to these words, and we need to do these words. We need to heed Jesus' message. We must hear Jesus' voice. We need to listen to his teaching, and then we need to do what he tells us to do. We must obey his instructions and his commands. Listen and do. That's the topic of my sermon this morning. And this was the gist of Jesus' final words to his disciples as he finished teaching on a certain hilltop. And we realize from Jesus, from Matthew's last comments, as we look at Matthew chapter 7, that not only was Jesus teaching a group of 12 disciples, but also there were many others that gathered around and heard his teaching as well. So the disciples, as well as the many others who heard Jesus, they needed to hear those words, and then they needed to do those words. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 through 29 is where we're at this morning. I invite you to turn there with me. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, that's on page 1118. And follow along as I read what our Lord Jesus says, beginning with verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. Jesus begins our passage in verse 24, and he begins by saying that word, therefore. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. And with that word, therefore, he directs his disciples' attention and the others' attention as well, directing their attention to what he had just said. And what had Jesus just said? Before this passage, we read about Jesus speaking about false prophets. The false prophets would come to the disciples in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they were ravenous wolves. And the disciples would be able to discern these false prophets, these sheep in wolves' clothing. They'd be able to discern the true character of these ones by their fruit. What their lives produced would be a sure sign of whether they were a true prophet or a false prophet. As well, Jesus spoke about the truth that not everyone who addresses him with the words, Lord, Lord, would enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of his Father in heaven would enter the kingdom. Yes, there would be many who would address Jesus as Lord, but they would be excluded from the kingdom. And they would protest to Jesus on that day, yes, we had prophesied in your name, Jesus. We've cast out demons. We've done many amazing miracles. But as they listed all of these things that they had done in Jesus' name, none of those acts were sufficient to gain entrance into the kingdom. Jesus would reply to these ones, I never knew you. They must depart from him, for they were nothing less than ones who performed lawlessness. Well, it's in light of that sober teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus says what he does in our current verse. Just the reality is there are many false prophets who try to deceive. These false prophets, as well as others no doubt, would expect to enter the kingdom based on what they said and what they did, but they will be excluded from the kingdom of heaven because they have not done the will of God. Jesus did not know them. Only those whom Jesus knows, only those who have done the Father's will, only these will be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's in light of this message that Jesus spoke that Jesus now says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, emphasizing the importance here of doing what Jesus has said. Now you think about all that Jesus taught the disciples in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7. Jesus told them much about how they should be living life in anticipation of the kingdom. The kingdom is approaching. Jesus had taught the disciples much about true righteousness. This was not the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. The righteousness that Jesus said the disciples must have, that righteousness that Jesus said that the disciples needed to have, it was not a self-produced righteousness. It wasn't a self-centered righteousness or a self-exalting righteousness. Really, that's the type of righteousness that the scribes and Pharisees had. But the righteousness required by God for entrance into the kingdom is a righteousness that came from God, a righteousness that came by faith and not by works. But this righteousness was also a righteousness that would produce good works in the disciples' lives. This was the righteousness that was needed to enter the kingdom. And as Jesus says here, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man." In a way, I'd like to go back to Matthew chapter 5 and read through the entire portion here of what Jesus said. What were Jesus' sayings? And we could read all the way through Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7. But if I read through those chapters, my sermon would be even longer than it already will be. And so we will not do that. But I trust that you will remember much of what Jesus said. And even as I continue in my sermon, I will highlight certain portions of what Jesus taught. But Jesus taught the disciples much. And the disciples and so many others had heard Jesus' words. And these were wonderful words. And the people even recognized, as we think about the crowds of people gathered around Jesus, they recognized Jesus spoke with amazing authority. Jesus, as he spoke, places a demand upon us. And the disciples and those gathered around, they surely would have gladly heard Jesus' words. But hearing alone is not what Jesus expects. Yes, Jesus wanted them to listen. He didn't want them to be daydreaming. He wanted them to be listening. That was important. That was the essential. That's a good first step. They needed to hear the truth of God, but more than that was needed. They needed to do the words that he spoke in addition to hearing them. And Jesus, as he often does, gives illustrations to help his disciples and others understand what he is saying. Now, sometimes we realize the parables were hidden from the disciples or even from others. But here we have an illustration that I think the people would have grasped and the disciples would have grasped as well. We have the first illustration. And Jesus gave this illustration to explain the benefits, the blessings that come to those who hear Jesus' words and then do Jesus' words. Jesus likens the one who does these words to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Now, you think about that illustration, and that's a very appropriate illustration, isn't it? And thinking particularly of Jesus' background, Jesus was known as what type of a man? He was the carpenter's son, right? Jesus was also known himself as the carpenter. So Jesus had quite the background when it came to building things. We don't know exactly what Jesus built. Do you think he built a house at any point in time in his life? I don't know for sure. But he is very qualified to give an illustration such as this. You know, how many things he built? I'm sure there were any number of things he built. Now, Jesus was in a great position to give this illustration, but you don't have to be a carpenter to understand his illustration. Basically, anybody would have understood what Jesus was getting at as he talked about the wise man who built his house upon a rock. And then later on, the foolishness of the man who built his house upon the sand. People from all different backgrounds, of all different trades, would have understood what Jesus was saying here. It was common sense that when you build a house, you build it on a rock. You don't build it upon sand. To build your house on a rock is a very smart thing to do. And it's the wise man who builds his house with this type of a foundation. You think about in Jesus' day, even as today, there are certain dangers that would threaten a house. And Jesus, I believe, as he speaks in verse 25, talks about one of the dangers that was especially prominent in his own day. Look at verse 25. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So this wise man that built his house upon a rock, he was wise in doing what he did, because whenever dangers come, and especially whenever we have the danger of rain, no doubt heavy rain, so this is not just a gentle pitter-patter of rain, this is a heavy rain, okay? Whenever that rain descends, and then with the rain, the heavy rain, what do you have? You have the floods, or you could even translate that the torrents. And I believe what the Lord is talking about here is in that land of Palestine, you would have ravines that oftentimes during the year, the dry season, they would be dry. You call them wadis as well. But you'd have these riverbeds that would be dry, or at least have very little water in them for much of the year. But when you have the rainy season, when you'd have that heavy rain, what happens? The rains go into those riverbeds, and all of a sudden they become quite the roaring river. And not only do you have these torrents flowing now, or the floods, but you now have the winds blowing as well with the storm. And all three of these bringing their force upon the house. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and they are beating upon that house. But what happens to the house? Even though there is quite the threat, a threefold threat to the house, what happens? It does not fall. Why? Because it is built upon a rock. It's built upon a rock. Now you think about the rain and the torrents and the wind. Just the rain in and of itself could have been a danger to the house. The floods or the torrents could be a danger to that house. The winds could have been a danger to that house. But think of them all three together. What a force would be against that house. But that house did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. So just as the wise man built his house upon a rock, whenever the threats came, that house stood because it was upon a rock. So too, the men and women of Jesus' day, whenever they hear Jesus' sayings, whenever they hear his teachings, whenever they do them, they're like that wise man and the house that he built. So these ones who hear Jesus' teachings and do them, they will recognize the value of what Jesus says. They will understand this is absolutely necessary for my life. And then as they hear what he says, they will do what he says. They live their lives according to the truth that Jesus speaks. And as they do that, their lives are given a stability that even whenever the storms of life come along, the trials, there will be a stability. Even on the last day, the judgment day, there will be a stability because they built their house upon the rock. That's the illustration. But the meaning of the illustration is, what the illustration is teaching is, these ones in the judgment day, because they have heeded what Jesus said, not only heard, but they did, they are going to have a stability, aren't they? They're going to be safe. These ones who hear Jesus' words and do them are very wise. But not everyone hears and does. And that's why Jesus continues in verses 26 and 27. Not everyone hears and actually follows through with what Jesus says. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Think about the disciples gathered around Jesus on that hilltop. You think about the many others that were gathered around. There were many that heard what Jesus said. In fact, we could maybe say all of the people that were gathered around heard what Jesus said, but how many of them refused to do what they heard? And Jesus says that these ones who hear but do not do, they are like the foolish man. And this foolish man also built a house. But instead of building it on a rock, he built it on the sand. Now we think about the house that was built. Very likely the house would have been built in the very exact same way. The one house built upon the rock and the other house built upon the sand. So just looking at the houses, very well they may have been identical or built in the same fashion. But the difference is the foundation, what they're built upon. That is the main difference. So on sunshiny days, You look at both houses and you'd say, well, they're both equally good houses. But it's not until you have the storm coming that you realize there's a big difference between the two. Because when the rains start pouring down and the torrents start rushing and the winds start blowing against that house built upon the sand, what happens? It's unable to withstand the force of those three dangers or threats. Because the house built upon the sand has nothing solid on which it's supported. So you think about that rain and the torrents, what's going to happen to that sand? That sand is going to wash away, isn't it? And that house is going to start buckling, and very soon it's going to totally collapse. And Jesus even says, great is the fall of that house. Because it's not built on a rock. It's not going to stand. As we think about the fate of that house that the foolish man built, this is the way Jesus pictured those who listened to Jesus' words, but yet did not do them. So you think about all those people who heard Jesus' words. I imagine quite a few of them were intrigued by what they heard. You know, Jesus was speaking words that were spoken with authority, and they those words drew them in. They may have been intrigued by those words. Perhaps some were entertained. Maybe some of them were convicted. You think of any number of other responses of those who heard Jesus' words, but for whatever reason, whether they were intrigued or entertained or convicted, there were a number of them that heard but did not follow through and do what Jesus said. They heard quite well, but they did nothing in response. And these ones do not live their lives according to what Jesus says, according to his truth. And so if people are not living according to Jesus' standards, what are they living their lives by? They're going to be living by the standards of the broken world. Or they're going to be living according to the standards of the scribes and the Pharisees. Or they'll be living according to the standards that they themselves set. They'll live as they see fit, according to what they think is good or right, or what is bad or not right. So what stability do these ones have who hear Jesus' words but then do nothing in response? What will happen when the rough times come into their lives? What foundation are they standing on? Even as we think about the final judgment day, without doing what Jesus said they must do, what hope do they have? And the answer is they have no hope, do they? Let's pause here just a moment. Jesus talking about the foolish man and talking about the wise man, and Jesus emphasizing very clearly, don't just listen to me, do what I say. Do what I say, because then when you do what I say, you're going to be like that wise man who built a house upon a rock. If you don't do what I say, you're like the foolish man who built the house upon the sand. Now, when Jesus says all of this, don't get the idea that Jesus is teaching somehow a works-based salvation, because he's not. It's not by works alone that they will withstand the storm. It's not by works alone that they will be standing favorably before God on that judgment day. How are they going to stand before God on that judgment day? It is only as they have trusted in God, as they have put their faith in Jesus, right? That's the only way that they are going to stand before God on that day. It's only as they have righteousness given to them from God himself. But think about the righteousness that God gives to those who trust in him. What kind of a righteousness is it? It is a righteousness that will produce good works. So faith and works go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. So Jesus here is not teaching a works-based salvation. Salvation has always been by grace through faith. But such salvation will produce good works. Righteousness by faith will produce righteous works. Works that will accord with what Jesus has taught. Now what Jesus said to the crowds and to the disciples on this day that was many years ago, I imagine that what he said was quite well received. Think about the disciples, they surely received it well. And you think about the people, they received it well, and that all of them, I'm sure, were attentively listening. I don't think there were daydreamers, although maybe there were a few. And they were especially blameworthy, perhaps, if they were daydreaming. But we find the reports of the people in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 28 and 29. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. here the many people, and were there hundreds, were there thousands? We don't know how many people, but I imagine there was a sizable group that had listened to Jesus. Kind of, you know, the disciples were the main ones who Jesus was teaching, but I think there were many others that were just listening in. And the people responded with amazement, with astonishment, with wonder. They had never heard something like this before. It was quite different than what they had heard before. And we think about the method of Jesus' teaching. Matthew emphasizes, Jesus did not speak like the scribes spoke. Jesus spoke with authority. Now the scribes, oftentimes when they taught, this was the characteristic pattern, as they taught, yes, they would have appealed to the scripture, but they would also appealed to the many people before them, the scribes that lived before them, or the rabbis that were their predecessors. So they would have appealed to the scriptures, but then they would have supported their interpretation of the scriptures by, you know, Rabbi so-and-so, he said this, and Rabbi so-and-so, he said this. They supported what they taught with other men and what they said. But Jesus, whenever he taught, did he appeal to this rabbi or that rabbi? No, he didn't, did he? Yes, he referred to what the Old Testament said oftentimes, but then, even as we have seen in Matthew already, Jesus said, you have heard that it hath been said to those of old, don't murder, or thou shalt not commit adultery. But then what does Jesus say after that? But I say unto you, that distinguished Jesus from all of the scribes, because Jesus himself claimed authority, the authority of the King himself, the authority of God incarnate. I say unto you, Jesus was a man who taught with his own authority, a man who demanded action, not because of what someone else said, but because this is what God himself says, and Jesus being God himself. This was far different than the scribes. None of the scribes would even dare appeal to their own authority. But Jesus was no ordinary scribe. He was the Messiah, the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the incarnate Son of God. The people were amazed. They were astonished, and rightfully so. He spoke with authority, distinct from the scribes. But one wonders how many of those people who were astonished walked away and were just simply astonished, and eventually that astonishment wore off, and then they continued on with their lives as it had been prior to that. How many of those people did not actually listen and hear and do? There are so many people that did not understand who Jesus truly was. They didn't understand why he was different than the other teachers of his day. There were many that enjoyed listening to Jesus' words, his teachings, but there were many also that had little desire to implement those teachings in their own lives. It was one thing to listen. It was quite another thing to do. The disciples, they heard the words of Jesus. And the disciples, each of them had a choice. I've heard Jesus' words, but what will I do with those words now? And would they do what Jesus said, or would they not do what he said? And you think, well, surely all of the disciples would have been on the same page. Yes, we'll do what Jesus says. But I believe that not all of them did what Jesus said. The disciples had to answer that question. Will I do what Jesus says or not? The people as well, the crowds, would have had to ask the same question. I've heard Jesus and what he demands. Will I do what Jesus demands now? Would the disciples and the people be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock? Or would the disciples and the others who heard Jesus be like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand? Which would they be like? We think about what Jesus taught. Jesus taught concerning matters like sinful anger and ungodly lust and divorce and the making of oaths and retaliation. And the disciples and so many others would have heard what Jesus taught. But would they practice what he taught? Would they shun sinful anger? Would they shun it even as much as they would shun murder? That's the decision that they had to make. Would what they heard be transferred into action? Jesus made it very clear that ungodly anger was just as bad as murder, right? Both are liable to judgment. So which, would they listen to what Jesus says? Would they do what he says, and shun ungodly anger? Would they take drastic action to guard their eyes from lust? Would they take action to guard themselves from lust just as much as they would take action to guard themselves from adultery? Jesus spoke about both, didn't he? Both are wrong in God's eyes. But would the people actually listen? Would the men in that crowd actually take action to guard their eyes from lust and to guard their hearts from lust? That's the question. Would they listen and do? As Jesus taught about retaliation, would they determine not to strike back at those who struck them? How hard is that? Okay, whenever somebody hits you, the natural response is, I'm going to hit them back. But Jesus made it very clear, right? We could go back to the passage to refresh our memories, but I won't do so. But would the disciples listen to what Jesus say and do what he says? Would they willingly submit to Jesus' words? Would they determine not to strike back at those who struck at them? Would they willingly serve those who are their enemies? See, it's one thing to listen. It's quite another thing to do. It would be very easy for the disciples to hear the words of Jesus. It'd be very easy for all the people to hear the words of Jesus, but it's not nearly as easy to put his words into action. The people recognized Jesus' authority, but would they actually do the words of the authoritative teacher? So if they did Jesus' words, they were wise. But if they refused to do what Jesus said, they were very foolish, just like that man who built his house upon the sand. And things would not go well for that foolish man in his house. Things would not go well for the people who refused to do what Jesus said. Let's think about us today. There is so much that Jesus said to the disciples on that hilltop that has great application for us today. And we've spent how many months going through this sermon? Now, we're not sitting with Jesus on that hilltop listening to all that he spoke, but we were able to read the words that Jesus spoke in the Bible. It's very easy to read those words, right? You know, for those of us who are adults and we've been reading for how many years, we can read those words very easily. Whereas I read them to you, you can listen quite easily, right? That's no problem at all for us. But it's quite another thing for us to actually do what Jesus taught. So just to give you a couple examples beyond what I've already given, this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. Jesus said this, "Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." What will we do with those words of Jesus? It's been a little while since I preached a sermon on that. And I would submit to you that those words have application to us, great application for us today. So what will we do with these teachings of Jesus? Will we simply hear those words and do nothing? If that's all that we do with Jesus' words, we're like that foolish man that built his house upon the sand. But if we hear Jesus' words, and then if we do those words, we'll be like that wise man who built his house upon the rock. You know, the storms will come. In the present, the trials will come. There is a judgment day. Where are we going to be at? What will the response of our Lord be? Are we like the wise man, or are we like the foolish man? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Okay, you just heard all those words. I'm pretty much sure that all of you heard those words, right? I don't think there's any one of us sleeping here. If so, then maybe you didn't hear. But we have heard those words many times before. The question for you is, you have just listened, but will you do what you just heard? You may say, "I agree with those words 100%. Okay, that's great. But there is also a difference between agreeing with words and actually doing the words. Will you do those words that I have just read? Will you refuse to store up treasures on earth and instead build up treasures in heaven? Now, as I've preached on this before, it doesn't mean that we cannot have any savings in our bank accounts. It doesn't mean that we can't have any valuable possessions on this earth. But what Jesus is saying is that what we truly value must be heavenly treasures, spiritual treasures, and not earthly treasures, right? Are we going to heed Jesus' words? So when it comes to our treasures, are we like the wise man or the foolish man? Are we actually practicing Jesus' words, or do we just spend a lot of time listening to Jesus' words? In the same chapter, Jesus spoke about not worrying concerning things like food and drink and clothes. Rather, we need to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to us. We must not worry about tomorrow. We've heard those words, but what do we do with those words? Will we be worrying about all of this as far as what, you know, we can worry about any number of things. But will we worry about the things of the world? If we're worrying, then what are we like? We're like the foolish man, aren't we? But if we're trusting God, if we're seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, then we're like the wise man. Listen and do. Okay. Do you remember those two words? Very easy, right? Listen and do. Very easy to remember these words, but it's so important to actually implement these words in our lives. I'm going to listen to what Jesus says. I'm going to do what Jesus says. Now, as we think about what Jesus taught here and how he encouraged, even demanded, both listening and doing, Jesus was not teaching something new here. Think about what Moses challenged Israel long before this. Let me read for you Deuteronomy 31, verses 12 and 13. And Moses here gives these instructions, and perhaps this is the Lord himself speaking here, but we read this in verses 12 and 13. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither you go over the Jordan to possess it. That's what the Lord told Moses. To gather the people together, read the law, so that they can hear and learn and then do. So in the days of Moses, the principle was the same, right? Hear and do. Listen and do. Think about Joshua. Joshua in chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8, he says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Joshua emphasized the need to do what God had commanded. We come to the New Testament. We could go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 13. And again, it's just one verse here, but Paul emphasizes the hearers of the law are for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So the necessity of doing. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. How important it is for us to listen and do. Yes, we need to listen to what Jesus says, and as we consider what Jesus says that applies to us, we must do it. The same applies to what we read in the Bible from Paul or James, words that are directed to us. We must listen to them. We must do them. How important it is that we be like the wise men, not the foolish. What type of a person are you like? What type of person are you like? So are you like the wise man or like the foolish man? And I'm so very thankful that we have a group of very faithful members and attenders at this church. Okay, how many sermons have some of you heard? You know, we don't even keep track, do we? It's in the hundreds. Maybe for some of us, could it be in the thousands? We've heard a lot, right? We have heard a lot of truth from God's word. And I'm very thankful for those who come faithfully Sunday after Sunday or Wednesday after Wednesday to this church. And so many other churches, you have faithful people coming to church services. And so much truth from the Bible is heard week after week after week. And I'm thankful for that. But then we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing with this truth that we hear? Do we just hear it and that is all? Or do we hear it and then do it? If we only hear the word and then we go on with life without doing anything, are we wise or are we foolish? We're foolish, aren't we, if we don't do anything with the word? As we have the close of the sermon, we realize that we have come to the end of chapter 7 of Matthew. We spent many, many hours studying the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. We'll look at some more yet to come. But what will you do with these words? Will you listen and do, or will you only listen? Will you be like that wise man, like the foolish man? I submit to you that we must be men and women who are like the wise man. We need to hear what Jesus says. We need to hear what God says to us in his word. We need to do what God tells us to do. May we embrace God's way of life. May we abandon our way of life, the way of life that is dictated by our own sinful desires. May the Lord empower us. May he enable us both to be listeners of the word, hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. May God help us with these things. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of Jesus. These are powerful words. Jesus spoke with authority. And as we consider all those who heard Jesus' words, many of them heard and did, but yet I believe there were far more even that heard, and that is all. I pray that we today would be challenged by Jesus' words, that we would not only be hearers of the word, we wouldn't just listen, but we'd also do. Help us to be like that wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the storms came, the winds blew, the waters rushed, but yet that house stood firm because it was built on the rock. Help us to be like that wise man. Help us to listen and do. We thank you again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.